You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh,
it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter with Kidderminster Harriers.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the Kidderminster match, we'll also be hearing from Darren Lyons, Nick Culkin and Jake Williams on this week's show. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. FC United's community team have two projects that have made it to the voting stage for funding through Aviva's Community Fund. The first one is FC United Supporting Memories Group, which is a weekly session for older adults to assist in combating Alzheimer's, depression, social isolation and loneliness. Secondly, we have the club's new wellbeing project. The background for this project has derived from discussions with Manchester Mental Health and Social Care Trust. They approached FC United to work with 25 mental health service users who were already established as a group. This group has now been engaged in football for over a year. To vote, please visit community-fund.aviva.co.uk. To matters on the pitch, and the draw for the first round proper of this season's FA Youth Cup took place on Friday, and FC United have been drawn at home to Carlisle United. Full details for this match will be announced by the club in the coming days. And staying with the youth team and academy players, Kamal Fuller and Sam Baird have been selected for trials for the England Colleges team. For the youth to the first team, and on Tuesday night, FC United successfully navigated their way to the quarter-finals of the Manchester Premier Cup by defeating Chadderton away by 6-0.
It's going to be, it's taken quickly there by Thompson, gives it to Chandler. Chandler's looking for an overlap there, back from Thompson. Thompson turns and shoots!
It's a goal! Goal.
And that goal comes on, I think, just let me check my stopwatch here, 12 minutes on the clock here at Andrew Street, and it's FC United and Manchester 1-0 up. A cracking finish there and a cracking build-up between Chandler and Thompson with the goal.
Yeah, it was a good shot by George, and it looked like it might have actually moved in, because the keeper seemed to go with it feet first, as if it sort of did one of those deviations in the air. But a good goal.
And here's Chandler now on the ball. Chandler crosses that ball into Greaves.
2-0.
2-0. And that was another quick corner on far side, and it bamboozled Chadderton again. And on 14 minutes, it's FC United and Manchester 2-0 up. It's Chantley, plays it to Chandler, Thompson, gets to the edge of the box, turns, puts
it again.
Goal, right in the
bottom corner.
And FC United, it's turning into a very good evening. On 21 minutes, FC United are now 3-0 up. Thompson with his second goal of the evening.
And equally as good as the first one, another shot from the edge of the box.
And dare I say it, dear listener.
Say it.
But three goals from set pieces.
Sort of.
Headed there by Greaves on the near post.
Crossing from Gilchrist. I can barely see that far, I'm not going to be lost enough.
So 4-0 now to FC United and Manchester. A goal really out of nothing, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's a corner to FC, and it comes from Thompson. Oh, it's ricocheting all over the place. Gets the back post, Corbett
the goal.
And on the back post there was Eckersley, and it's 5-0 to FC United.
Good corner in. Fell to Chris Hill, I think, whose first shot was well saved by the keeper.
I thought it was Corbett.
It was Corbett with the first.
Was it Corbett, was it? Yeah, and it was one of the subs.
It ricocheted all over the place. It got to Eckersley, and Eckersley just comfortably.
It was a good save from the keeper, and he leathered it in, to be fair, but.
And it's back with Howell now on this right side. He crosses the ball into the near post. Well cleared, though, by Ashworth. Greaves gets the ball, plays it first time to Thompson. Thompson lays it off there to Hill. Hill now charging forward on the right side. Lovely ball to Greaves. Greaves. Is he going to get past Bannister there?
No.
Bannister is
a good defender.
It's a good challenge. Thompson's on the back post. Greaves crosses it to Thompson. Controls it, shoots, goal, and a hat-trick for George Thompson. FC United now 6-0 up against Chadderton.
We're getting very close to the typed word on the video printer. Is it 7?
It could be.
Well, that kicked in.
7.
Waiting for FC in the next round will be our friends Abby Hay away. And finally, it was announced this week that women's team manager Lee Sutton will be standing down from his position after Sunday's match with Warrington due to work commitments. There is more on this news on this week's Women's Team Extra podcast out on Monday. But on behalf of everyone here at This Club Is My Club, we wish Lee all the best for the future. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United travel to Worcestershire to take on Kidderminster Harriers in the league. Certainly a daunting prospect, but could FC United bounce back from their disappointing display at Telford last weekend? It's over to Marv Willers now with a Harriers match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. FC United caused an upset by winning 2-0 at fifth place Kidderminster Harriers on Saturday afternoon, courtesy of an own goal and a Luke Ashworth header in front of 2,177 at the Agbrough Stadium. The Reds were outplayed for the majority of the match. However, they scored two priceless goals, one in each half, and both from set pieces to take all 3 points. Here's the goals.
Now, Dale Tong goes in. And wins a foul there. I thought it was quite cute from Dale Tong. It's a bit of a 50-50, but he got the ball and he anticipated the player was coming through. Made sure there was contact. Free kick to FC United. And particularly smart bit of play in the sense of FC just slowing things down a bit, having the ball where they want it in the Kidderminster half, and just a chance to take some of the momentum away from the home side. Kidderminster have been fairly dominant so far, but now a free kick for FC United. Right hand side, George Thompson, number 10 on his back, will look to chip this in. Big men up for FC United. Here it comes. George Thompson crosses it. Nice. And it's gone in! Extraordinarily! The keeper came for it, and it basically hit from... Is this a goal? It's all so strange. It is a goal.
The goalkeeper came out and missed it completely, and I'm not sure who it hit behind him.
I think it may have hit Greaves on the head, but I'm not entirely sure. But that is a curious goal, as you'll see.
Nobody seems to know.
But real misjudgment there from Sam Hornby. Nice delivery, though, in the right area from George Thompson. And it hit, it's almost as if, I mean, Dale Tong and Greaves were almost having an inquest, as if, was it me that scored it or was it you?
Combi came out like a train, but missed it completely.
We've had a text message come in. The 324 FCers are loud and clear in Leicester. That's from Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Some, of course, may not have made it today with that problem on the... And Greaves there! And this is going to go in. It just goes over. He beats Hornby to the ball.
He's given a corner.
And the corner ball must have come off Hornby. And there's really is a... across wires sometimes between the centre-backs and a Hornby, no question about that. And it will be a corner to FC United. Sort of,
it's a strange game, isn't it? Because we've had moments where we could have scored 2 or 3 here.
And well,
Kidderminster have dominated most of the match.
Indeed they have, but FC with a 1-0 lead and a chance now. Could they double the money here with... George Thompson about to take this corner, and it goes floated. Nice pulling. Ashworth! Yes. It's a beautiful goal. A perfect cross from Thompson, and Ashworth rises above the defence to nod that into the corner. And the unlikely goal machine that is Luke Ashworth nets again, and FC United into a 2-0 lead here.
6 goals for Ashworth now.
And the number 6 with 6 goals, and FC, when the chances have arisen, they've been taken.
This has been coming, though, hasn't it? You've just had this feeling that FC have got another goal in them, partly because of the deficiencies of the back four and the goalkeeper.
He just rose above his marker there, Ashworth, and a nice controlled placed header. And again, was there a man on the post there? Because if there would have been, then they should easily have dealt with that. But FC United, 2 goals up here. There goes the final whistle. And FC United of Manchester have won 2-0 here at Kidderminster Harriers. It's a fine performance. Up against it, there's home side with around about 70% of the possession here, but it's a very welcome 3 points for FC. It puts 3 points 13th in the table, in the as it stands table. That's not the final table, but
it's been a great afternoon, to be fair. I mean, it's been a great away performance, hasn't it, Paul, really? I mean, it's been backs against the wall occasionally. The possession's all been for the home side, but we've got the two goals.
I think it's been one of those days where everybody in the dressing room can say they've put a shift in. Everybody's put the work in. Everybody's put the challenges in that are needed. Shots have been charged down. Runs have been checked. Everybody's stuck to the plan.
And I was trying to think of who would have given man of the match to, who's had a standout game. And you're right, really, from the defence, which has been formidable at times, to
the
be
back,
fair.
The back four and the midfield have really grafted today.
They really have.
And they've got a reward for it.
And then you've got, like, Wolfie and Greaves, when they were together, doing all them runs and making the space and holding the ball up, giving a bit of respite to the defence and midfield. It has been across the whole 11 and the substitutes who've come on. Even Gilchrist, we're a bit like, oh, it's rocket time. They brought Greaves off at 70 minutes, brought an inexperienced player on, but he was holding the ball up really well in towards the corner flags, just killing the clock and demoralising Kidderminster.
I think, yeah, I mean, it's very, very hard to choose the best player on the pitch today. They've all contributed in different ways.
I mean, Ashworth might shade it in the sense that he nicked the goal as well as giving a solid defensive performance.
He was tying top goal scorer, wasn't he? He's top goal scorer now, surely.
He's still behind George Thompson.
Still behind, but yeah. he is being like Steve Bruce all of a sudden, isn't he?
Six goals from centre-back and we're in October. That's a pretty neat...
And not a penalty taken in sight.
No.
Yeah, so there you go.
But, it, I mean, it does, you know, we talk about which FC is going to turn up. The FC that goes to Telford and doesn't really show any conviction when they should be winning a game like that. And then the FC that goes to Kidderminster, one of the high-flying, full-time clubs in the division, and takes the 3 points.
But we said this on This Club's Michael last week when we interviewed Daz, when we interviewed Jerome. We said, you know, these are going to be tough games against Kidderminster and Halifax. But Solihull Moors, Nuneaton Town, we've been here before, and we always play a blinder against teams higher up the division.
Yes, and something about the West Midlands as well.
Yes, we seem to like, I mean, Solihull and Nuneaton.
Apart from Stourbridge a few years ago.
Yeah, that was a big letdown. but yeah, I mean, you know, we look at games and you sometimes think, well, we haven't got a great prospect of a win here, but then you go and upset the form books again, and who knows what comes at Halifax on Tuesday.
Well, that's where we're going to be next with FC Live. Women's Team Live will be on before that, though. Tomorrow, Lee Sutton's last game in charge of the women's team, an absolute legend at the club. 2 o'clock kickoff at Broadhurst Park. If you can make it, it'll be great to have you down there. The main stand bar is open, and Women's Team Live will be providing commentary if you can't come.
And Emily Maguire being introduced to the fans? that's a joke, by the way, before you'll start writing in. In other news, Salford's demise.
Salford's poor run continues.
They're only three places behind.
This isn't the FC United Facebook group. We're not getting obsessed about Salford.
I was talking about a club that was up near the top, a local club whose form has taken a dip. It was nothing partisan, it was a factual observation. So sensitive.
Yes, so FC Live will be back at the Shea on Tuesday. A full team, full lineup for that one. I think Emily will be joining us for that one because it's on the wrong side of the Pennines, so she'll be probably making a debut for that. But yeah, last thoughts. You've got Show We No Name coming up in a second. It's a brand new one, Red Rebel Radio at 6:30 later. So, what last thoughts to you, James?
FC, you've just got to take this performance and kind of just look at it and say, this is how we can play. It's as simple as that, really. You can play like this against a good side, full-time professional side, with a 2-0 win. There's no reason why FC can't be in the right half of the table before too long.
And Paul, you've got 30 seconds. We're going to close with you, I've decided.
Considering Kidderminster had 23 goal attempts, I've got to give full credit to Dave Carnell and his back four and the midfield in front of him that shielded him so well.
Absolutely. This has been FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and the Armchair Armour. Big thank you to Saddle Paul. A big thank you to James Quinn. A big thank you to the Travelling Red Army. Absolutely delightful this afternoon. 342 of you in that stand over there, and you made a noise all the way through that match. It was reminiscent of the old days. It was superb. But this has been FC Live, Women's Team Live, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. FC Live will return on Tuesday at 7:30 from Halifax, but from everyone here in Worcestershire, it's finished. Kidderminster Harriers 0, FC United of Manchester 2. Our new show with no name coming up next. Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with first team coach Darren Lyons.
So we're now joined by Darren Lyons, who's a lot happier than he was last Saturday. That was all right, that wasn't it?
Yeah, the lads are tremendous, mate. They kept to the shape, kept to formation. We had a bit of a game plan because we knew that they were good down the flanks with the wingers and the fullbacks. The lads worked the tripe off, shall we say, and we sucked them in on the break.
Now, on Friday, we received news about all the injuries and suspensions going into this match, which was very useful because then there's no speculation on our part. It was great. But it was quite stark because we were missing Winter and Johnson through suspension. Yeah. Sheridan was still a bit iffy. We're missing Lowe, missing Gilchrist.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of an unusual start in 11 with Williams a bit further up and Brown in midfield. But 1-11, played a blinder really, didn't they, all of them?
Yeah, they were fantastic. We've just been talking about who gets man of the match, Ben, and it's difficult because every one of them was brilliant. We wanted Jake's pace, to be fair, because like I just said about the two wide men they've got, especially down the left with the left winger and the left back, who likes to bomb on. We did get caught once or twice, but overall the lads were fantastic. They coped with it.
Now, we've already spoke to Nick Culkin about Carnell, because obviously you're only as good as your goalkeeper in these kind of backs against the wall performances. Yeah. What was their possession? Was it 80% or something? 70-odd percent possession for Kidderminster. Yeah. So you've got your back four and the goalkeeper. I think, I don't know if I'm exaggerating here, but I think that's the best performance Carnell's put in this season, I think.
Yeah, I'd go to say it's the best performance we put in this season, because I do stick to my guns. I think they're the best team we've played this year, whether it be because of full time or because, you know, they played at an higher level and kept most of the squad together. But to me, they're the best team we've played, and that's no disrespect to anyone else in the league.
And another goal from Ashworth. He is turning into Steve Bruce, but I think people forget, you won't know this being a City fan, but in that season when Steve Bruce scored something stupid like 15 goals, he was the penalty taker as well. So Ash is nearly joint top goal scorer, I think.
Yeah, I think if his second goal today would have gone in, he would have got set, he'd have been on 7 with George when he's told us already. But I don't think there's much chance of him getting the penalties. But credit where credit's due. The lads have worked on set pieces after training. They stay behind a bit themselves and work on it. And it's paying dividends.
Absolutely. In reality, though, that game today, we say, you know, Kidderminster with all that possession and that, FC really should have been about 4-5 nil up towards the end there.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, George has gone round the keeper, and anyone else you'd want George in that situation. But
Jason's one on one as well.
Fluffed his line. Yeah. Jason's one on one. The goal we had disallowed for the life of me. Now I still don't know what it was for.
The goalie was obstructed.
Was it?
Yeah.
Fair enough. You had a better luck than me. But we could have had 4 or 5, like you say. They had a couple of half chances. Dave's made a good save. I think it was Eckers who headed one off the line.
Yeah.
But all in all, I think we dealt with them quite well.
The thing that we said last week was these next two matches, Kidderminster and Halifax, were always going to be tough games. Mm-hmm. But we've been here before. Solihull Moors, Nuneaton.
Yeah.
It's a question, though, that he's asking. What is it about these games where our side, you know, they go from Telford, the performance against Telford, to this, which is probably in the top 10, maybe top 15 performances FC's ever put in?
I think I touched on it last week when I said when we're underdogs, which we were today, they're a full-time outfit, they've come down from the league above, we'll be underdogs again on Tuesday. Halifax are a great club. They've got, you know, money behind them and things like that. They've got a good crowd, they've got a good squad. We'll be the underdogs again, and the lads raise the game. That's no disrespect to Telford, where, you know, people could say, well, did you think you were just going to win? I think we did take that attitude into the game last week, but today you could see the difference. And I think the thing with Chadderton on Tuesday night was a bit of a kick up the backside for a few of them as well.
Well, I think you used the Manchester Premier Cup right, because obviously you've had that disappointing performance on Saturday. The chances are the next time you would have seen the first team would have been on Thursday in previous years.
Yeah.
But you put out a strong lineup against Chadderton, and that means that it's essentially, no disrespect to charity, but it becomes then a kind of training session in a way, and an unofficial one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a case of, like, you know, if you want to look at it, it's a bit of a punishment for the lads, because they might be thinking, well, if we do well Saturday, we're getting a night off Tuesday for the young lads to come in and play. But, it was also a situation for them to get out of the system. They know they was bad against Telford last week. We said in the dressing room afterwards, we said that we think they're the best team we've played, and the lads are saying, yeah, but we beat them 2-0. So then our comeback to that is, well, yeah, that's why we get frustrated with you, because we know what these lads can do, and they've shown it today.
Well, congratulations to all the coaching staff for all the preparation that went into this one. Cheers. And all the players. It was a superb afternoon. Cheers. And see you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
Darren Lyons on the way back to Manchester on Saturday. Also on the way back home was goalkeeping coach Nick Culkin.
So we're now joined by goalkeeping coach and legend Nicky Culkin. Got you on, Nick, because I thought Dave Carnell, that perhaps was his best game this season, I'm going to suggest. What do you think?
Yeah, I certainly think it was up there, definitely. Pretty solid from start to finish. Cleaned everything up. The starting positions were excellent. Some excellent saves in there as well. So kicking was good, talking was good. So very happy with him. Started well in the warm-up. His warm-up was excellent today as well. So I think he starts to mean to go on in football. So good professional performance for himself. He should be proud.
Now you've obviously been in the game years, and that game today felt like a bit like a cup game. To be honest, we were playing a professional side, and every single player from 1 to 11 and the substitutes who came on did an excellent job. As a goalkeeper, how important is it to be on top form like Carnell was today?
Well, it's important he's on top form every week, to be honest, but today, especially when we're playing a team that's full time, who are very fit, very strong, very organised. So every player does, not just Carnell, every player needs to be on a top game to come to Kidderminster and get a result. And that's what the lads did. They stuck to the task. And it, to be fair, it's slightly frustrating. I can see if the fans get frustrated, because we go to Telford last week, play very poorly, and then in a game itself where we should be getting a result out of, and then we go to Kidderminster where people are writing us off, and then we go and win. So it's slightly frustrating, but it's the old saying, that's football, and it really is. It's frustrating at times, but
what's it down to? Is it it's a psychology thing, I'm assuming. It's like this is going to, like Telford last week, when we spoke to Daz and Jerome, it was a case of maybe we had that mindset that they've got trouble, this is going to be a bit easier than we think, whereas today there's not a chance on earth it's going to be easier, and therefore you correct your mindset accordingly.
And that, yeah, mindset and going into it, the psychology, the mental side of the game, and the mindset what you say there is completely correct. Last week, they think they're going to turn up and just turn over Telford. Didn't happen. They got what they deserved. And today, they turn up, roll their sleeves up with a different mindset, knowing it's going to be a tough game. We've all got to be there to perform to the top of our ability, and that's what they went and did, and it just shows. And it's frustrating sometimes, for especially as fans and staff, that we know what they can produce week in, week out, and sometimes it doesn't go to plan. But they're a young side, to be honest with you. There's a lot of young players out there, and they're learning every week, and they're showing really good signs. And when they are in that sort of mood, then I don't think there's many teams in the league that will beat us.
Well, I think James or Stato Paul gave man of the match to Dave Carnell, and so pass on our congratulations to Mr. Carnell, and congratulations to you, that means as well, I think.
I'll certainly take credit for that, why not? It's about the only thing I can take credit for these days, so I'll live off that.
Thanks, Nick.
Top man.
FC United goalkeeping coach Nick Culkin there from Saturday afternoon. A player who has been impressive since signing for the club is fullback Jake Williams. Here is Ben and James speaking with Jake on the way back to Manchester on Saturday.
Hello, Jake. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Ben. Yeah, not too bad.
Good afternoon, that football, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great result, to be fair. I don't think many people expected it going in, but I think the lads, obviously, we worked well as a team today. and we got the result we deserved. I think it's probably the best performance we've had so far, I think, especially as a team anyway.
Now, ever since FC Radio caught eyes of you as a trialist, I've been very, very impressed. But trying to do research into where you come from, Jake, is very difficult.
Yeah.
Can you give us a bit of your back history, where you come from, especially last season?
Yeah, well, last season was playing at New Mills. Obviously, people have seen New Mills' results last season, won a great one. But for me personally, it was just a case of playing games at a decent level, and it's helped and helped me to get noticed, and that's why I'll end up at FC. Season before that, I was playing at Wythenshawe Town, so I was playing amateur football. So this is probably the highest I've been. So
were you part of that wave from Wythenshawe Town to New Mills when they changed the management staff? Because that was a difficult season for New Mills, wasn't it?
It was, to be fair. I think the managers, when they brought them in, we just came at the wrong time. Obviously, they just had two previous managers, and they were struggling from the get-go. So they come over and they're taking a ship that's already sinking.
Yeah.
And it couldn't really turn it around. We had great morale in the changing rooms, considering we was getting beat every week, but it just wasn't clicking on the pitch, and it's unfortunate what happened. But I think now they're back in North West County, so hopefully they'll revive it and come back up.
So you've gone from Cheshire League to North West to Conference North, and you've made the transition effortlessly, if you don't mind me saying. What have you made of the transition?
I think, me personally, I knew I could play at this level. I've played with a lot of lads. A lot of my friends are professional football and are in and around it, so I've played with a lot of lads at this level. I think I just played men's football from the age of 17, so it's not really much different. It's just the lads are just a little bit sharper. That's all I see. I was a little bit sharper, a little bit fitter, and just do things quicker. But you soon, when you're training with the lads week in, week out, and like the trainings, everything's dead sharp. It took me a while to get into the rhythm of training, but once you get into it, you transition into the game, it's nice and smooth.
And speaking of transition being nice and smooth, you've come in right back, but this is the second game today I've seen you play in this attacking right midfield role, and you're very good there. Without actually being too flash about it, what are the big major differences in when you're being asked to play in that position?
I think the major difference is I can use my speed and my energy for going forward. I don't have to rely on defending all the time. And I think with the likes of Tonga behind his experience, I know that he's fine. He talks to me all game and he wants me to push on and stay high as I can. And then it gives the team more of an outlet for pace and crossing it in and try and get balls in the box. But the way I play is just hard work. Just run myself into the ground, be a nuisance, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Just get back and carry on.
It's James now, mate.
You've claimed your place in the team very quickly. Is that, having played sort of men's football since the age of 17, how much of a factor is that in you, you think?
I think it's been a massive factor because it's helped usually in my development. Because you see a lot of lads now coming from academy football and trying to make the transition to Conference North, and they struggle. I mean, the under 21 football doesn't help lads of my sort of age group try and make that transition. If we fall out of contract, you're better off. I think you're better off going into that Northwest Counties Evo Stick level, working hard and seeing what men's football is about. Because then you sort of jump up, and it's not as big jump up as your first think it's going to be. It's just a little bit quicker.
And the thing about like a club like Wythenshawe Town, off the pitch, they're quite ambitious, aren't they? They do want to be a Northwest Counties club eventually. But there is this hotbed at the amateur game in the Manchester League, in the Cheshire League, and that kind of thing. And New Mills, because of circumstances, gave you that chance. Yeah. And there was a few good players in that New Mills side who were a bit fish out of water at the time, but they will benefit from that in the long run.
Like, at New Mills at the time, I think I was probably one of the oldest lads at the time when I was 21, and probably the most experienced lads, and it was crazy to think that. And I think even now, they've still got a lot of young heads in there, but it'll help them massively for when they go up, and it'll just help their careers, I think, as well.
Great performance result today. As a football man, what is the difference between this week's performance and last week's? Apart from the fact you had to go off at half time.
I don't know. I think the lads we just worked for each other today. It wasn't any individual standout or anything like that. I think we all just knew what he'd had to take to stay in the game and keep our shape and just work hard. I think definitely, I don't know what was different. I think just the mentality was probably different. I think
it's with part-time footballers, because of the balance of life, is the the mindset, is the mindset at the beginning of games much more inconsistent than it is both full-time professionals, do you think?
Possibly, yeah, it can be, because you could have a rubbish day at work and then you've got to turn up at, I don't know, say Kidderminster away and try and do your hardest. Like, some of the lads might have been working before this game in early morning, you don't know. Like, I've done it before. Before home games, I sometimes have to go and work before a home game and come over. So you're just thinking about different things, but then once you're in the dressing room, you've got to get your mind on it and go and take the task at hand.
And is that then about leadership, about captaincy management, in terms of the fact managing that the players are in that frame of mind to get them out of that, do you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think it's down to the management, down to the lads themselves. I think it's more, I think, for the lads to get each other up for it. It doesn't have to be the manager that comes in and says his speech. I think the lads need to know themselves what needs to happen. And like today, I think it just all was clicked. All the lads knew what was had to take. We just stayed in, we sat in our positions, worked hard, and obviously we might have got a bit of luck. Probably could have had more goals. We got lucky with the own goal, but it was a great crossing by George. And I think that just settled us then. We had a few more chances. They made mistakes. We just unlucky, couldn't finish them. But 2-0, great result, and it's brought us up the table.
Who are the people with the heartbeat of this team? You know, when you look around, when things are tough in a match, who do you look around to?
I think, obviously, the likes of Jerome, he's a big personality, everyone can see that. But I think, today it was just, I think Tongi, he speaks a lot, his experience shows. I don't know, it was just the midfield today just was the heartbeat of the team and really got stuck in. They didn't have to say anything, it was just their actual right, we're going winning this tackle, and then that spurred on the other lads to go, right, well, I'm going to go and win the next one and win the next one. And we just worked for each other, and I think that's what worked. I don't think it was anyone actually saying anything, it was just actually what they were doing spurred on the lads to go and do it.
And that's why we struggled to find a man of the match, really, because everyone just... It was like a cup match, in a way, and you were playing a league side. It was very reminiscent of
I think it was similar to the performance that we played against Harrogate in the FA Cup, where we just ran ourselves into the ground, and obviously on that day it was unfortunate we didn't get the result, but I think today they weren't clinical at all. They got forward, but they didn't do anything with it, whereas we just pounced on their mistakes, and obviously a few good crosses and we got goals.
Well, it's an excellent performance, and same again hopefully on Tuesday night, because that's going to be a tough game too. But Jake, thanks for coming on. Excellent much. And nice pleasure meeting you.
You too. Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you.
Jake Williams there, speaking with Ben and James on Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that excellent 2-0 win against Kidderminster leave FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from the National League North, it's now time to hand back over to Marv Willers for this week's Marv Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome to another future award-winning edition of Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. And with that win, dear listener, FC United have moved up the league to 13th position, just 10 points now from the playoffs. That's right, we're being that kind of station this week. Currently looking over their shoulders at a marauding FC, we see AFC Fylde, a lot of C's in that sentence, who maintained their 4-point lead at the top of the table on Saturday after a 2-1 win against top five rivals Harrogate Town. Darlington are second, and it was an afternoon to forget for visiting Worcester City, who fell to the heaviest defeat of the season, 5-1. Third place Chorley fell to a 1-0 Victory Park defeat to a Stockport County side, who are now ninth and just 3 points off a top five spot. Boston United suffered a miserable afternoon as they went down 2-0 at home to fourth placed FC Halifax Town. Gloucester City are now 7th after edging out bottom markers Bradford Park Avenue at Warren Road, while Brackley Town show no signs of blowing up and are a place below, but level on points with Gloucester after winning 2-0 at St James's Park against lowly Curzon Ashton. Tamworth moved level on points with 10th place Salford City after grabbing a 2-1 win at Moor Lane. If you're not confused yet, Stalybridge Celtic remains second bottom after losing a best of 5 goal game at Boerfold against Alfredston Town. Altrincham remained third bottom after a poor performance at Moss Lane against mid-table AFC Telford United. And lastly, Gainsborough Trinity and Leighton Town ended all square. Get your pens and paper ready for next week, because this is going to start getting more and more complicated the further we go. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. Go in peace to love and serve your football club. Farewell. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action twice this week. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, FC travel to Yorkshire to take on Halifax Town. The address for the ground is the Shea Stadium, Shea Sky, Halifax, West Yorkshire, HX12YS. That's the Shea Stadium, HX12YS. Kick-off on Tuesday night will be at 7:45pm. And then on Saturday afternoon, FC United return to Broadhurst Park as FC host Gloucester City. Kick-off in Manchester will be at 3pm. Saturday also marks the return of People United Day.
People United Day is the club's annual celebration of the diversity of our local community and reinforces our proud and principled commitment to develop strong links with that community and be accessible to all and discriminate against none. It provides a welcome reminder that racism or any other form of discrimination will not be tolerated at FC United, because we believe that all people should be able to enjoy football without fear of intimidation or abuse. This year's People United Day will take place at Broadhurst Park on Saturday the 29th of October, when FC are at home to Gloucester City. The very first People United Day in October 2006 memorably saw over 1,000 young people attend the game against Glossop North End at Gig Lane, including many young asylum seekers and refugees. This year's People United Day will also feature a special friendly match between a team from United Glasgow FC, comprised largely of refugees, and a team from the Freedom from Torture charity, and will take place on the 3G pitch adjacent to the ground following FC United's match against Gloucester. The special friendly match will kick off at 5:15pm and will be contested for the Alan Henning Trophy. This year's People United Day will also see FC United working with around 200 local schoolchildren to educate them on the involvement of refugees in football, both locally and globally, and also to discuss the benefits of supporter ownership and the uniqueness of FC United as a football club in the UK and further afield. Once again, People United Day promises to be a cracking, heartwarming day, and its celebration of diversity and clear anti-discriminatory message is as much to do with what this football club is about as winning leagues and snaffling the occasional late winner. So that's People United Day this Saturday, 29th of October, kick-off 3pm. The matches pay on the gate and all are welcome to attend. Admission is £9 for adults, £5 for concessions and £2 for under-18s.
And remember, if you cannot make this week's games, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Tuesday night from 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm, right here on your very own FCUM radio. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30am, 12:30 and 7pm. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.